Hello and welcome to the Bosun's Call Woodworking Podcast. I am James, your host, the Bosun, and welcome to episode 4. Today we have for you some sailor lingo, a very cool tool, and a very special guest. My wife, Esther, is on the show today, and we're going to be talking about organization in the shop and what it's like to be in a relationship with a woodworker.
Yeah.
All right. So without further ado, let's get cracking. Hi, Esther.
Hello.
My lovely wife. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well.
So because of the topic, we brought you in today, the main topic, right? For what is it like to be the wife of a woodworker or the significant other of a woodworker? But before we get into that, we're going to talk about our sailor pirate word of the day. This is a phrase. The phrase is by and large, which is definitely in common use these days.
It is.
I'm sure you've used it.
Very many times.
And it means overall or in general, but this has very solid ties to the age of sail as for its origin. So the derivation of the word, we get into the weeds a little bit on sailing knowledge kind of thing. But I'll distill it down for you so you can understand its origins that are kind of cool. So by and large are two different sailing terms. All right. So the first one, large. Large would be sailing essentially with the wind at your back. Anywhere from the midpoint of the ship to the stern. If the wind was coming at you from the middle to the back of the boat, you know, you've got, you know, the wind at your back, essentially, and your sails are full of wind, and you can go anywhere you want. You can steer anyway, because you can't steer into the wind.
No.
Now, ships with particularly, like, triangular-shaped sails could use kind of an airfoil thing going on there to sail closer to the wind, the direction of the wind. Obviously, you're flirting with disaster if you're sailing into the wind, because then you can lose the power of the wind and end up dead in the water. Ooh, another one. They get a freebie. And that was sailing anywhere with the wind forward of your midline on the ship was called sailing by. So by the wind, essentially in the direction of the wind. So a ship that was more versatile and that could sail at more points on the compass, so they could sail closer to the wind. If you were describing all the different points a ship could sail, you would say by and large. So it can sail by and large. So, of course, as time wore on, that became just a term for, in general, talking about
all
the different points of the compass that we can sail by. So that is the origin of that term. So now when you use it, you'll probably think of tall ships.
Yes. Many sails.
Many sails. All the sails out. All right. So next we have for you a very cool tool. And I discovered this scrolling through short videos of a tool convention, which is very dangerous for a woodworker. You should never do that.
Especially when you're tired late at night.
Oh, yes. That too. So
many things have been bought then.
I think I did pretty well, though, because I looked through a lot of tools and I think I only bought two of them and they were both around $20.
Yes.
So, but that's woodworking math, right? It's only $20.
Tool math, it's only two. So, yeah, 20. And then you buy an extra one that's also only 20.
Mm-hmm. They're both only 20. So it's like a low number, but then it's like 20, 40, 60. I can count.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. I can count at least a 10. All right, so the cool tool that we have for you today is a staple gun. And it is a manual staple gun, so no pneumatics, no electronics. It's a hand-operated one, and you're probably thinking, oh, what's so special about that? It has a trigger.
It's very handy.
So this is very cool. So it has the regular setting, right? And you're picturing, you know, your normal manual stapler with the handle and the spring that you depress.
You have to fright so hard to force that thing.
Yeah, especially if you have it on the highest setting because you need more power to drive the staple into something harder. Yeah, it takes a little bit of effort. Now, that's not too bad if you're in a position of advantage where you've got the leverage to do that, right? But we've all ended up in situations where you're reaching or you're in some weird tight space or mm-hmm. on the top of the ladder or something like that. And it's just super awkward. So this one, what you can do is you can depress the lever on top and load up the spring. But instead of when you get to the bottom, it firing the staple, it just loads up a trigger. And then you can place it and just press the trigger. And the trigger is very, very light.
It works great. I stole it. I commandeered.
Oh, immediately commandeered it. Yeah.
And it worked great. I was reaching above my head. It was easy. Had a few misfires learning, but that's normal, right? You just practice shooting staples into the nether.
I mean, everyone's done that on purpose. At least the guy who's listening, they'd be like, yeah, we're definitely going to see if we can.
But it worked great. And it was much easier than a regular staple gun. So highly recommend.
And it's you can have two different settings. You can have the normal and use like a regular manual stapler, or you can turn it. So this is the SureBonder Trigger Fire. You can find that on Amazon. That's where I picked it up. It's around $20 when I got it. And I will try to get a link in the show notes so that you can just zip over to that and pick one up for yourself, because it's cheap enough. It's like hard to pass up, but it works really good. It's very well constructed, I think. This one's very sturdy. It is like it's all metal. There's only a couple plastic pieces. And I think it's one of these things, like, why didn't anyone think of that sooner? You know, because you've definitely struggled with it. But it's nice if you want to turn it off because, you know, you're stapling stuff. You can move a bit faster instead of, like, depressing the lever, press the trigger, you know.
Yeah, and if you're able to push down. Mm-hmm. But
for the last few, like, awkward or hard to reach places, or if it's like a tight space, you can sneak it in there, and as long as you can put pressure against the workpiece enough that it doesn't just
bounce off.
That's nice. And it's got two settings, like a low and a high spring tension setting, and it takes pretty much standard staples. It doesn't take as many different types of staples. Like, I have another stapler here that shoots all kinds of stuff, but it does not have a trigger. So very cool tool. Check it out. All right. So the next topic will be organization in the wood shop. Now, we moved not that long ago, and I got more space. We got a really great new house, and I have two stalls to use that are dedicated to my shop space. Before that, we only had two stalls, and we had to fit two cars in them. So we had a bit of a transformer shop, so everything was on wheels and it all had to have a place to live. You know,
and the cars got in there every night. It worked well.
It was really kind of impressive, I thought. Like, I have pictures
you did really good.
Of the transformed and the hidden away versions of stuff. I mean, and we had a significant amount of tools. I mean, I had the drill press, we had the table saw that was on wheels. We had a couple of other things. I'd built my workbench by then. That's on wheels.
Yep.
So, and even though I have a dedicated space, I will say putting wheels on things is very cool because it makes reorganizing the shop something I can do myself. I don't have to call for friends to help lift things. There are a couple things now that definitely don't move. Actually, well, let's see. I would say the bandsaw and the joiner planer. Are there to stay. I would probably need to rent a forklift to move them again.
Most likely.
I got really clever with installing that stuff via like a dolly and lever. I mean, it was almost like an experiment in how the ancient Egyptians built something, or Stonehenge or something. It was
funny, a lot little of wheel movements.
It was a lot of wedges and levers.
It was a matter of leverage.
But we are talking about trying to get not just the overall shop and your layout and everything, but specifically kind of more small stuff organization. So all your little parts and tools and things. And there's many different ways to go about it. I think probably one of the oldest ones would be pegboard.
Very common.
I have a very special place in my heart for pegboard. It is not a good place.
I dared to suggest it when we first got together.
It's there is some new stuff out there that's a little bit more attractive, but I was used to, like, my dad and my grandfather both had pegboard, and I mean, this will be probably common for most people listening, is the white pegboard that's almost like a press board or an MDF with the white, mm-hmm. you know, veneer on it. And then, or what is it, Formica covering or something like that. And then the Sharpie outlines.
You got to know where to put stuff back.
Yeah. And I think it was like a tool in a replacement enforcement, because you could be like, where's the number 7 wrench or something.
I used it to beat the dryer into submission.
But certainly, like, it was, yeah, it was an organizational method to like make sure everything had its place and it returned to the same place. The reason why I really don't like it is it just, I don't know, it seems like an eyesore to me, and having to work with it and having to remove it when we were getting a house ready to sell that was in the family, I had to remove some pegboard. And pegboard requires a standoff for the little pegs to actually like hook in. Mm-hmm. And lots of little creepy crawlies like to move in that little space.
Nasty.
Yeah, and we don't like the creepy crawlies, do we?
We do not like creepy crawlies at all.
Yeah, I'm definitely on spider killing duty.
Yes.
So, I mean, now pegboard with all the different manufacturing methods now, we've got lasers and water jets and plasma CNCs, oh my. And there's a lot of really cool stuff out there that's metal, that's like, you know, powder coated in whatever your favorite mm-hmm. color is to match.
It's very easy to install. It looks pretty clean.
Mm-hmm. And you can get, you can get it in whatever your favorite color is to match your sports team or tool manufacturer of choice. So that's kind of cool. And they have some of them that have changed up the pattern. It's not just a straight grid of mm-hmm. holes. Yeah, some of them are like elongated holes that fit other things. I'm not sure what. And then some of them even have little, what would you say? Like hooks, not really hooks, but the hangers for acro bins.
Yes.
Yeah. I call them acro bins because that's the brand that I got them. But the little plastic hanging or stacking bins for small parts. So that's kind of handy because it makes the thing more versatile. And a lot of cabinet shop kind of layouts have workbenches with pegboard backers that are metal. I think that's definitely a little bit more attractive than the standard white pegboard that you can get. I don't know. I'm not a fan. But if you are, go for it. I'm not going to judge much harshly. The other one would be the...
you have your full cabinet system. That's usually a private install.
Mm-hmm. You can purchase it for certainly and set it up yourself. Those are kind of nice for shared spaces, garages where you may still be parking in there. Mm-hmm. And then it has some nice aesthetics because you can hide everything away and
it makes
cabinets
it look much less cluttered.
You just have to remember where everything is.
Yes.
So I like the...
you have to clean it.
Yes, you do have to clean it. But I've definitely seen some really nice builds. I think you could probably find a design center where you could have somebody install all of that.
Absolutely.
And put it in there. So, or you could build it yourself. I've seen some nice, like, full units with, like, I don't know, 6-foot cabinets and then like a workbench in the middle with some pegboard in the back. And those look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
And then there's
do?
What you use.
I use, French cleats. So that's definitely more of a DIY option, but it is my favorite option because it looks really nice because you're using some
wood.
You're using wood. So you're using, I'm using 3/4-inch ply, birch ply for my cleats. So it looks very nice. And I also have a thinner, like a 3/8 birch ply backer. Mm-hmm. You don't want to mount these straight to the wall. But what they are is essentially a horizontal board with a 45-degree cut in the top so that the tall edge is facing out. And then you can make custom tool hangers or shelves or whatever you need. And then you just have another piece of the cleat that faces the opposite direction. So it kind of pulls it into the wall. And what's nice about that is it's very strong and you can rearrange stuff however you want. You can rearrange mm-hmm. it per project or something like that. Like you can move around stuff so it's closer or pull things off the wall. Like I have, I've built some hangers for tools that I will then take off the wall and I'll clamp it in my workbench vise
mm-hmm.
so that it's not going anywhere. But I don't have to Like, for instance, I have maybe a metal vise I'm going to build this for. So I can take the metal vise out, off the wall, clamp it in the bench clamp.
A clamp for a clamp?
Yes, double clamp. And then, but
so
my
many clamps.
I have a Robo workbench, so it has a leg vise that's got the crubber, half cork, half rubber bits in the metal. Not really for doing metal work, so I have the metal vise for when I'm doing any metal work or anything else that requires a little bit more pressure. But I can take that off and I can mount it essentially to my workbench and use it. And then when I'm done, I can take it off, hang it back on the wall. So it kind of makes it more versatile that way. So you can vary how wide you want your cleats to be on the wall. I go with a little bit wider. Mine are about 4 inches. I was just actually talking to my dad about this because he's looking at doing the same thing. And he was asking, like, you know, how wide should they be? And I'm like, well, it depends. I went wider because I'm driving two, you know, like deck screws into each stud as it goes along, which makes them very, very strong. But I knew I was going to be putting a lot of weight on them.
Yes.
So I went for more strength. So they're a bit wider. They're about 4 inches.
Yeah.
I would say with some gaps on them. Or you could do something smaller if you want just more versatility as far as moving stuff around on the wall. So it just kind of fits your preference.
Very personalized.
I like it. Yeah, it's very pretty because I like the wood grain. I like looking at it because
it's warmer. I like it.
Because the whole shop is wrapped in nice, pretty wood now.
It is.
Yeah. And yeah, I can move stuff around. It's very strong and you can customize it to your space. I also like it because everything's very visual. Like I like the first order retrieval, like Adam Savage.
It's useful.
But, you know, I have like, you know, my Allen wrench, you know, set and all of my screwdrivers and stuff are all hanging out where I can see them. Mm-hmm. And I can just grab them off the wall. Or if I want to move them somewhere closer, I can just move stuff around.
Or to the cleat across the room if you're doing a project on that side.
Yep. So that's my favorite one. And there's tons of videos out there you can watch on exactly how to put that together. But it's pretty simple. All you need is a couple sheets of plywood to get started. And it is an excellent option. I think it's more if you have a dedicated space, but you could do it in kind of shared spaces as well. The other one would be the T-Track board, trying to channel board, I think is what it's called. This is like something you see in retail stores.
Yes. And
I think I've seen it on some workbenches on the back. It's definitely like you'll see it in retail stores with like the clothing hangers and stuff coming off the walls. You can use it. I've seen so much of it that gets broken, and because it's only MDF again
even if you got metal ones, it still has that type of retail look to it.
It does. You can get extruded aluminum, which I would prefer over the MDF-ish Absolutely. Versions. You still have a space where creepy crawlies can move in, but I bet you could put end caps on it. So to kind of help mitigate that. Yeah, I wouldn't want it because it does look very retail-y. And then you're kind of stuck again with the pegboard type hangers. Mm-hmm. The interface is a little bit different. It's just a zigzaggy bent metal backer on there. The thing I always hated about, and I know they've come up with solutions for this for the pegboard too, is if you don't like zip tie or secure the back of the peg, like you always like hit the peg and it just falls off with everything on it. Like just the whole, you could just take the whole wall out and it's very tedious trying to like fish zip ties through there. I'm sure they have better solutions. I've seen little clips and things that keep it on there, but again, I'm just not a fan. Then you can get into like Sortimo for small parts. Yeah, small parts. I've got these adjustable fishing tackle box trays with a lid on them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? And those are very nice because I'm going to build a French cleat wall hanger for them to put them all in there. But and you've gone out looking for little bits and they're nice.
It is. It's much easier than opening up every single one. You can kind of glance at it.
Yeah, because they are transparent. So you can just kind of shake them around. You got to hold them up above your head and look through the bottom to see like, where's that little part thing that I'm looking for?
It's in one of these.
I like those. And I do have some of the cheaper DeWalt bin organizers or small part. What would you call those? Small part.
It is a bin, but it's far enough down that if you turn it upside down, it doesn't mix everything up.
That's the big thing, is that when you close the lid, you can mix around the little bins inside the kind of briefcase looking organizer. But yeah, they don't go crazy. If you had the money, you could go with Sortimo.
But yeah, you'd have to get another job.
It is definitely the champagne.
Indeed.
Champagne tastes of small part organization. They're very nice, though. I saw those.
Oh, they're very pretty.
Another Adam Savage find.
Yes.
It's hard to watch him, like, even his tested channel, because there are all kinds of fancy
tools.
All
the things.
Like, I want that. And I want that, too.
And then you look at the price tags.
Some of the stuff is pricey. Some of it, not so much. Mm-hmm. So I found some good nuggets, you know. And that's how we find stuff. We learn from each other. Be like, what is that? What are you using that for? French cleats, acrobins, cabinets, pegboard. Oh my, you have tons of options for organization. Certainly when you have a small shop and space is a premium. I mean, I'm thinking about some people have just a garden shed. That's really all they have. So you definitely have to get creative as far as making everything fit. But utilizing
order retrieval without just chucking it in a bin.
Mm-hmm. That I'm really big on first order retrieval. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because I like not having to move anything to get to the thing that I need.
Well, yeah.
That's kind of a hard goal to achieve, too.
Especially with seasons.
Yeah. Some things have to go away for a little while and then come back out. But definitely utilizing your wall space really efficiently helps a lot with that.
Yes, it does. So what's on the bench now?
On the bench, I am in between projects. As you know, I just finished a kind of late Christmas gift for a friend of mine. I made him a bow hanger, like a wall display.
Yes.
Which actually involves a French cleat to hang it on the wall. I made a French cleat so you can just mount that small board. And then I gave him a little leeway so he could kind of line it up.
Much easier to get level.
I doubt he's as OCD as I am, so he probably didn't care as much about
it being.
It's
so much easier, though, because you can just balance a level on top of it.
But instead of the entire thing on the wall.
Yeah, or trying to get screws lined up perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like scribbled a bunch of directions on the cleat. and I drilled like 16 on center holes in a couple of places so he could.
Hey, fully adaptable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you have a waiting list for more of those, right?
I do, actually. Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, can I get one of those? So it came out really well. It's a kind of a V-shape. Well, it is a V-shape with pegs on the front that come out that you can hang the bow by the frame or the string if you're, I don't know, if you're into that kind of thing. And wrap those pegs in leather so they wouldn't mar anything on the frame. And then I got the laser working and engraved his last name on a kind of plaque on the top of it in the back. And then it's actually really more of a triangle, point down triangle, right? And then I drilled a bunch of holes in the top of the triangle that you can fan out your collection of fancy arrows and display them as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little space at the bottom for like your releases and stuff like that. Came out great. I used birch. I had some.
I think it was birch.
I had a really cool board with some nice figuring in it that I used, and then you actually helped me finish up that project.
I paste waxed it.
Yeah. So again, I'm kind of odd. I'm a fan of renewable wax based finishes.
Yeah, it just brings out the natural beauty of the wood.
And I like that it's renewable and it's instantaneous because I was kind of on a time crunch. And that's why I asked you to help me out with that. And all you had to do is buff it in and you're done.
Super easy, not messy.
And then I gave him a little bit more of the paste wax that I make in a little skull form. And so that, you know, if anything, you know, needs touching up, he can do that later. I really like that because it's renewable. So that just came off the bench. My next project is going to be a humidor, which is going to be another gift for a friend.
How many gifts are good?
Yes. I think that I can. It's really hard to buy gifts for people, but if you have a good idea for something handmade, I think that's, there's definitely more to it because it's like your time and energy is also invested in it.
Yes.
But you have to be careful because you're making something that it's hard to say no to, like if they don't like it.
Yeah. Well, you have to work really hard, but it does have that personal, and you thought about it enough to take that time to make it.
So I do have the materials that I need for it. I have some very fancy, I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to use for the humidor, but I have some very fancy exotic hardwoods. I have some very nice zebra wood. I have some purple heart. I have some red heart that is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's almost too pretty to use for a project, you know. It
has to be the right project.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, there's sometimes you get a piece and you're just like, I can't use this for anything. It's just too nice.
It has to be special.
Yeah. And then I have Spanish cedar.
For the lining.
For the lining, which is a very special wood that you want to use for humidors. And you get more of it the fancier the humidor is. The reason you use Spanish cedar is because it has a couple of properties that are very favorable for stashing your collection of cigars. One being that it deals very well with moisture, which obviously in a humidor you're going to have plenty of. So it doesn't move as much and it retains moisture very well, which is what you want. So the box won't just pull itself apart. And it also has oils and tannins in it that repel insects that want to come and eat your fancy collection. So I have all the little bits and bobs that I need. I have some hiding hinges. Brass hinges that are very nice, and I have a lock. I don't know if I'm going to use it or not, and I have the little moisture meters that I'm going to put in there. I was thinking about doing a glass top, but I don't think I will because I have some pieces that would look really nice bookmatched mm-hmm. on the top of it. So, and I'm going to try the wraparound grain thing. I've done boxes before, but I haven't done the wraparound grain, right, where you do the cuts. So you're doing a little V cut up to the top of the board that the grain is unbroken, essentially, around the outside of it. So, yeah, I'm going to really go the whole nine yards on that one. So that's, you know, I'm kind of in between, but I know that's my next project because we're going to be visiting said friend in a little bit, and I want to be able to bring and present that to him. So
excellent.
Yeah. So on to our next topic, having a significant other or even a friend. But what is it like knowing or being in a relationship with a woodworker? Being married to a woodworker, a hobbyist, what are some pro cons of this whole deal?
Pros, so much custom everything. You get specialized furniture and I'm tall, so my breadboard is perfect for my height. And won't break my back. And I have a lovely personalized spice rack that I got to pick out all the different woods for. It's made for me. It's not like anyone else's in the world. There is a lot of sawdust,
mm-hmm.
which you've gotten really good. The air compressor helps. And in general, it doesn't really get tracked into the house. So that's good.
It's definitely a lot easier to just blast off all the the sawdust instead of having to sit there and brush. So I try to be good at not track stuff, and sometimes I do. And I try and keep the noise down.
It's not too bad.
It's pretty insulated in the garage, so it's not too noisy.
No, I can still hear myself think.
Yeah. and I am an apron wearer, so I kind of keep that off. I can put that. It still doesn't keep the sawdust out of my pockets, but
there's not handfuls of it though. So. No.
Yeah. So that's definitely well. That definitely works. Blast off all the sawdust before you come in.
And then you have your endless honeydew list.
Oh, yes. Yes, the lists. The lists never end.
Well, and that is partly your fault.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely my fault.
Because every time I suggest something that I could do easily, you're like, no, I could do it better.
Or something that we find that we want to purchase, and I start picking it apart in the store, and I'm like, no, look at that joint. That sucks. Then
I'll get my dresser someday.
Yes, that is definitely one that's on the higher end of the list is we need dressers for the bedroom. We had some really, really old oak 80s ones that we...
You know the type.
we dispensed with for the move. And
we're not moving that across the country.
No. And I don't know. They were just very outdated. They, yeah, I mean, they were
big and heavy and bulky.
They were okay, but they just, I don't know. I just didn't like them. And I wanted to move on. I mean, in hindsight, maybe we should have kept them for a little bit longer, but
then we would have had to move them.
Yeah, that's true. So looking at making more of an updated style, one of those, and we went out, gosh, we pretty much visited every furniture store in town.
Yes, we did.
And even made a trek out to another town that has an IKEA and still couldn't bring ourselves to pay the money. I mean, IKEA is not bad. That certainly would be an option. But then you have IKEA, which, you know, it's nothing in the interim.
But even if you pay for the higher end IKEA quality, like mm-hmm. you could put that towards better wood and have something much more customized to what we want.
And that was the biggest problem for me. And this is a problem that you'll have if you're in a relationship with a woodworker, is that they'll look at something and go like, that's garbage. We're not spending that money on it, right? And that's the biggest thing, I think, especially with furniture. A lot of it is really, really cheap. And I just know that it's going to pull itself apart. Now, we have, you know, IKEA bookcases and some other stuff, and it has held up extremely well. I think that it's a little bit superior in quality. But some of this other stuff we've looked at, and the problem is the price tag. If it was cheap enough that it's like, okay, that'll get us there for now type of thing. But it's not cheap. It's really expensive.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this going, oh my gosh, the mountain of beautiful hardwood I could get for that and build it myself, and fancy hardware, you know, like, you know, under drawer slides with the, you know, the soft clothes. I could get all of that and drawer pulls and do it exactly the way I want it and everything. And I'm just doing the quick math in my head. I'm looking at this stuff going, this is just not worth it. It looks okay, but you look at the price tag and all the air leaves your lungs, and you're like, no, I'm not
going to pay for that.
Oh my gosh, my hard-earned money going towards press board and formica that's already showing signs of wear and starting to pull itself apart.
Yeah, so we wait for it, but
I do have the drawer slides.
Yes.
So we are partway ahead on that
project. And the wait has always been worth it. So it's good.
It's true. You will wait a bit longer for those projects to get done if you're in a relationship with a woodworker. But if they're going to make it, it will arrive eventually. So, I mean, the breadboard that I made you, which is essentially a standalone table, that's a butcher block top. And then you made a last minute alteration request on it. That it has a little spot for your rolling pin in the front of it. So it's all custom made just for you. And that was all leftovers from my Robo workbench. So it's solid beech. So it's all hardwood with a paste wax finish because it's food
pretty.
Safe. And I think that I gain tremendously even from the projects that I built for you, because now we have a dedicated space for making bread, and she goes to town working out her aggressions on some bread dough. You can hear her pounding away some days, and there's flour flying everywhere. And then, you know, in another hour, we've got fresh baked bread, and the house smells amazing.
And I'm calmer.
And we've worked out all the angst. And
just build your wife a breadboard.
She can take all her aggression out on building up that gluten in the bread. While watching Bake Off.
And it's inspirational.
The spice rack was fun.
That was my favorite.
And it's kind of asymmetrical, and we've got little spaces for all of your fancy salts and vials and things.
Yes.
And it's very cool.
Your vials, it's different kinds of wood.
Mm-hmm. I have pictures of that, and I think the breadboard and the workbench on Instagram.
Yes, those should be on all social media.
The social media. So you can find that on our Instagram at Bosun's Call if you want to check it out. Those are some good projects. But yeah, there's plenty of stuff on, you know. But I think if you were going to commission someone to build anything, you'd probably wait just as long.
You would.
Because a lot of people that do that kind of stuff, like custom commission work, their wait list is pretty long as well.
Yeah, you have a wait list. It takes time. And depending on, where you're on the list. And then, like, you have gifts coming up that need done. And we do have a time crunch on that, so.
Yep.
My drawer organizer will wait.
Well, I one of the projects that I'm still working on that's kind of, I have a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire
so
right
many.
Now, is our basement bar, which is needing, you know, final steps doing and edging and stuff like that. So yeah, sometimes you can get lost in having too many projects open. Like I find myself just standing in the shop, kind of staring at the walls, wondering what's next. That's where the list building comes in. And, you know, it kind of helps organize your thoughts and things like that. And you've helped out with that, building out the list.
I can at least make a list. Well, and then you could take something small off of that and actually accomplish something, which gives you that little dopamine hit so that you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely done that to great effect. And it kind of builds momentum. You know, you finish up something small.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's, you know, something for the shop, like I feel like sometimes I'm just building jigs and tool holders and things. But it's kind of cool. You know, you get something done that's tangible that you can look at and point to and be like, hey, I finished that today.
You can say, hey, I got that out of its box on the floor and I threw away the box and it's now accessible on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Which is so nice, getting things off the floor. Like I'm still finding stuff and getting it off the floor from the move. Like moves take years, if we're honest about it. There's still bug. I think we're done with the boxes, but things still need to find their homes, and we still have an unfinished basement at the moment. So there are definitely projects in
so
our future.
So many projects for years and years and years.
So yeah, I think those are some things that you'll run into if you're in a relationship with a woodworker. Is the I could build that better. And you're like, yeah, but when? So there is definitely a point when you have to admit that your time is worth more than the money to just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I fully admit, I steered you away from a, what would you say, kitchen utensil organizer?
Yes.
Because I wanted to build it like custom to your drawer, because you can buy it, but then
yes.
You have that extra room on the ends and it sloshes around and be like, I can build you a custom one. And I just haven't done it. But that could be a small project I could knock out probably in a day.
Most likely.
So usually that's how it works. And I'm kind of a nerd because the project list is on an Excel spreadsheet with a priority that I can sort it by. So
yeah, I'm a paper and pencil person.
I start a lot of things paper and pencil, definitely like plans and things like that, but usually then I move it to some kind of digital space. I find the Excel spreadsheet, as nerdy as it is, to be useful because I can throw everything that I can possibly think of project-wise on it, and then I can put a number in another column for how high a priority I think this is. And
it's always changeable.
It's changeable, and it helps kind of in your without having to go through everything. It helps you kind of see what's a priority. You know what I could do? I just had this thought: is we could do two columns. We can have my priority and your priority.
See where they line up,
and then like maybe average them out, and then see, and then that's the next project that I work on.
Hey, that's worth trying.
So like if I put the drawer organizer at the bottom and you're like number one, it'll be like jump up the list a little bit higher.
Oh. this could work out.
Or maybe I'm getting myself into way too much trouble already.
No, I like this idea.
Yeah. You'll certainly, knowing a woodworker or being in a relationship with a woodworker, I think you'll get some very nice gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I've given many out over the years, boxes and picture frames and custom projects and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That can be very nice. I think it does kind of take up some of your time. And certainly if you're in the hobby woodworking or even business woodworking for money, giving away all of your supplies and your time is one thing, but it is something that is very, very unique because, yeah, you're the things that I've given as gifts that I've made and the things that we have in our home that I've made are all one of a kind things.
I love that about it.
Now, having a woodworker in your life, as long as they don't automatically buy all the things that they want, you have a whole list of gift options for them.
Wish lists. Yeah, things appear on wish lists, but yeah, you got to be careful about not buying them before things.
This feels very pointed and personal right now. I got an early birthday present.
Yes, I was very knowledgeable and yeah.
Very thoughtful.
So thoughtful.
I don't know how you knew exactly what I wanted, but it arrived a little early for the birthday, but that's okay. my lovely wife purchased for me Bridge City Toolworks hand plane on a essentially half off sale, which is very nice, like a flash sale. And it is gorgeous. So you can always find something nice to get your woodworker.
Sometimes birthday gifts get bought at different times of the year. Mm-hmm. 50% off sales are good.
Yes, definitely for expensive tools. You
definitely need a wide range of wish list items because they range in cost.
Yes. Big toys for big boys and girls. that is true. But then, you know, you get back from that, right? Your gifts and projects and things. So I am a little behind. I will admit that I have a gift for you that I'm like getting started. We have some okay cutting boards. We've got some bamboo ones, but they're showing their age. And it is high time that I built you a in-grain fancy cutting board, a big butcher block one. Because we don't use your breadboard for cutting on things. So this one will be specifically an in-grain cutting board for cutting up all the wonderful, delectable delights that you make. Yes. So a little insight into if you're thinking about getting into a relationship with a woodworker, you know what you're in store for now if you're listening.
There will never be a shortage of tools. You will never run out of ideas on gifts.
Yes, this is true. Just ask them what's next on their wish list.
Or show up with a pile of hardwood.
Yeah. That is always a win, right? Especially exotic species and things like that.
Indeed.
All right. That's it for the day. Thank you for listening. If you would like to support the show, you can find us on Patreon. Just search for Bosun's Call. You can also find us on our website, bosunscall.com, with links to our Instagram, Facebook, and other social media sites. You can go look up some pictures of the fancy projects that we've made, and I'll include some stuff on the projects that I currently have on the bench. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.